We are seeing a recession red alert right now. Over the past few hours, we've seen some leading economic indicators right now suggesting a potential recession in the United States in the next 6 to 12 months. Tell that to the Biden administration. They don't want to hear it. But these things are flashing red right now. We're going to get into a couple of them, coincident indicators that are really decelerating quickly, according to Seeking Alpha. Now, the Fed faces, we've been talking about this. If you've been watching the show for any length of time, we've been talking about how the Fed is facing a really difficult choice right now. We got the inflation numbers this past week, and we know that the Fed is now really in a rock and a hard place because they do not want to raise interest rates, absolutely do not want to do it, but they may have no choice because they have either the choice right now to cut interest rates to prevent a recession, which they're not going to do. They just told us basically that's not going to happen. In fact, the opposite may happen. In the next month, into May, month and a half or so, we may see interest rates rise. They may have no choice because we are seeing consumer spending slowing down. We're seeing the trouble in the commercial real estate market right now. We're seeing a huge amount of layoffs of Americans being laid off in the United States. And we saw, of course, the Tyson Chicken Foods story, which is unbelievable, being replaced with illegal immigration to fill those quarters for manufacturing right now. And we're seeing that across the board right now. So real layoffs, slowdown in consumer spending, people are not buying things as much as they were. And we're also seeing interest rates not going down. So where we thought we would see maybe a boom in housing, a boom of consumer spending, Wall Street excited about bigger margins, not happening. In fact, now, because of these interest rates slowdown that we're not going to see these cuts, Wall Street, which had anticipated bigger margins, of course, now is going to have to revise those numbers down. So the Fed is facing this really difficult moment right now between cutting interest rates to prevent a recession or risk this resurgence of inflation. Again, if the Fed cuts rates and inflation surges, it could lead to a huge financial crisis. And there are a couple of big indicators right now. Again, consumer spending is slowing down significantly. People just don't have the money. Consumer debt is exploding. Credit card debt has accelerated to a level we haven't seen before. I mean, I don't need to tell you, there's so many videos right now floating around on TikTok and other places of 20-something saying they can't afford their rent. Their rent has ballooned so significantly, now they're having to choose between eating and paying rent. This is Biden's economy right now, but they don't want you to know that these problems exist. And if we have these leading economic indicators heading 6 to 12 months into the election, this is a disaster. We, of course, know what happens when an economy is in a recession. You vote those people out. Just ask George H.W. Bush, right? That's what happens. You vote those individuals out. When you have a bad economy, when you are in a recession, you do not win elections. The Democrats are going to do everything in their power right now to make sure that that doesn't happen. And if that means printing more money, they will do that. And trying to force the Fed's hands on lowering interest rates. But again, if they cut interest rates, we could be facing massive amount of inflation. Now, I've done a whole report. I just co-authored a report with my friends over at the Wealth Research Group. And there's things we talk about in this report, these red flags and these red alerts that I can't talk about on YouTube. We've seen this in the data. YouTube does not like when we talk about these certain things. We will be hurt by that. They will demonetize our video if we mention certain things. So I want you to go check out this free report right now. Just go over to morrisinvest.com/recession. Okay, we put a lot of work into the charts, and you can see the red alert symbols that we're going to show you here and why there's one really leading indicator that I think we're heading for a recession. Again, if you want more data on this, go look at this right now. And if you're thinking about, well, okay, this is the perfect time for me to, buy a house or sell a house. I mean, this is going to really slow down the housing market as well as we enter the spring buying season, where we would normally see an explosion. We have this pent-up demand. And if the Fed is not going to lower interest rates as we had anticipated, this is going to really put a crimp in what we saw in the housing market right now. So again, go check out that free report, morrisinvest.com/recession. And again, there's things we talk about in there specifically as it relates to the Biden administration that we're not allowed to talk about on YouTube. They will suppress the video. They will not be happy about it. As we've seen time and time again, we just had another video last week where they demonetized and blocked it. as we were talking about the sale of TikTok and everything. So YouTube loves to censor our content here. Anyway, check it out. And we'll make sure we have a link in the description below on that. But today is our Q&A episode. So I would love to hear from you guys. Please go over to our website. You can leave us a question and we will answer it here on the show. We've got three great questions from our listeners today. Let's start with Patricia here on the show.
Hi, Clayton. This is Patricia. I live in upstate New York. I'll be 70 this year. I'm considering moving from my single family residence because I need to create some other source of income besides retirement, et cetera. And I know that New York is not that friendly towards landlords, although it is very friendly towards tenants. I did have a two-family house that I sold in 2018 because I was dealing with bad tenants. I'm thinking about selling this house and buying a multifamily dwelling, probably two-family, but being in the house or part of it so that I can be on top of things and keep on top of a tenant. I also have considered maybe putting some money into this house and making my downstairs an accessory apartment. But I feel that it is not exactly the best situation and I would lose some of my privacy and quiet. I'd appreciate your input on what I might do. In addition to that, I'm also considering leaving New York at some point. Although I am tied here, my son lives nearby and my daughter just had a baby and I'd like to be around for my granddaughter. I'd appreciate your input and advice. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much. So it doesn't sound like, while you think you want to move away from there, as many New Yorkers do, of course, head to Florida or other more free freedom states, you know, and where you're not paying as much in taxes and you have more freedom. That's why so many people migrate to Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, et cetera, from New York and New Jersey. Of course, those migration patterns, just like in California, they move to they move into Arizona and Texas and so forth. So it doesn't sound like with the impending grandchildren, you're going anywhere anytime soon. So maybe, so I guess that really will dictate whether or not you stay there and how sort of long-term plans you have in that regard. It sounds like you've already answered your question about kind of building out your current primary residence and trying to turn that into a multifamily unit. It doesn't sound like you want to do that given your privacy concerns and all of that. So if you do have, I would look at this house that you currently have. Do you have a good amount of equity? Is it paid off where you could sell that property and take those funds and, either rent something? So you don't have to put down long-term roots in that area. You could rent something and be close to your impending grandchildren and then you don't have to deal with maintenance or upkeep or anything like that. And then use those funds, perhaps, to think about investing, maybe even not even in New York. I mean, maybe I'll blow your mind a little bit, Patricia, but maybe you just book a call with our team over at Morris Invest and we talk you through the benefits of buying like a duplex in Texas or Missouri. I mean, it might blow your mind to think, but why would you want to manage that property? You're like, I want to be near it. I want to live in it so I can manage the tenant. Is that something you want to do? Personally, I don't want to ever have to manage tenants. That's why we hire property management teams. So I just want to give you some other options in your brain about how maybe you could take that New York money, maybe get it out. New York is not a landlord-friendly state. I just will tell you that from a tax perspective, from a law perspective, it's just not. So why do you need, you could rent something, live near your grandkids, enjoy your life, and then you're not tied to any kind of a mortgage. And if you want to move to Florida, you want to move somewhere else, you have that freedom to do that. But then also taking that money that you would have from that primary residence, you're selling it, you're probably going to make some good money. Could you reinvest that into multi-properties in another state? Again, I bring this up on the show all the time because that's what I do. We build new construction properties in Texas and Missouri with our team from Sedira Wealth. We've been doing that for many years. And they're in the best school districts. They're in the most landlord-friendly states. And each of those houses is about $50,000 for a down payment, $50,000 to $55,000, $60,000 for a down payment. And then it's financing the rest of it. The brand new construction in the best school districts, fully managed, cash flowing, and with about an 18% internal rate of return, and you can buy a duplex, single family, whatever you want. So it depends on how much money you get from the sale of that other property. You could end up buying like 4, 3, 4, 5 properties and have it fully taken care of for you. And then you can live and enjoy your life in New York with your grandkids. And then if you want to move, you can. And then you always have those great properties that you don't have to manage, and they're out of your hands and managed with a great team. Again, I'm just saying it may make sense for you in that way. But if not, if you want to be really hands-on and you want to manage a tenant and you want that life for yourself, that's totally up to you. Again, I don't know about New York and why. I just don't know what the prices are there, and I don't know what the return on investment is. So you say New York. New York is a big place. And if, you know, upstate New York, et cetera, there are a lot of things to consider. What are the rents there? What kind of a property can you get in a good location where you can live there and feel happy and safe and secure, but also have a great place for a tenant to live? So a lot of things to consider. I just would make sure we have a full bunch of videos on our website, Patricia, for you to go through if you do want to do that, to really understand your numbers, okay? Really understand your ROI and what you're investing in and how all of those numbers make sense. So please go through our website and do those formulas and figure all of that out for yourself. But just some things, I hope I gave you some things to think about, okay? Maybe you don't have to buy something in New York. Maybe you could rent, and then you could use those funds from the sale of that property to reinvest in other places in a much more landlord-friendly environment. Again, this would be the advice I'd give my family members. So I'm not just giving this advice to you. And this is frankly what I do. You know, I lived in New Jersey. I don't want to invest in New Jersey. I lived in New York City. I didn't invest in New York City. I invested in, you know, the Midwest. So this is the exact advice I would give family and friends. So great question though. And good luck to you. And you know, please follow up with us. And again, book a call with our team. We'll be happy to help you for free and just walk you through the process and point you in the right direction. Even if we don't work with you, you know, we don't care. So thank you for that. Now here's another one from Jared.
Hi Clayton. My name is Jared Oschenbein. I live in Oregon, but I'm investing in Arizona. I'm doing the rent by room model. And my question revolves around cost segregation. I'm sure everybody's seen in the news lately about the 100% bonus depreciation coming back, but that's not what my question is. The question is, what, if any, software or remote cost segregation tools have you used or potentially any of your listeners have brought up that you've seen work? I'm currently investigating CostSeg EZ, and any information on this would be helpful. It's just a single family home, so spending a few $1,000s to get a cost seg, probably not something I'd want to do, but I'm curious if anybody has used any remote software or averages cost seg easy and if they've worked for tax purposes. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for the question. Personally, we work with cost segregation companies, so we don't do DIY cost segregation. You can. Let me just say this. Yes, you can save money by doing a DIY cost segregation analysis. You can use software like KBKG, which is a residential cost segregator. You can use like Titan Echo, which is another one, or like SegStream, S-E-G. And some of these are targeted more towards accountants and CPAs. You can use them as well. Remember, though, you're still going to have to do a field study. So you're still going to, of course, have to go to the property, assess the building components manually. You'll do that. The cost segregation software helps you put it all together and create reports. And the only thing I will say is, again, there are some pros and cons, right? The pro is that you will save some money, right? Because cost segregations can be costly. They can cost a few $1,000s depending on how you're doing it. And very often we waited for a number of years until we had a number of rental properties before we even hired a cost segregation engineer to fly in. He flies in, he did like 8 of our properties at one time in one or two days, stays in a hotel, you know, and you pay for that. But then of course the savings that you get as a result of it are huge, right? You're accelerating that depreciation, much earlier in the life cycle of that property. So you're getting all of that additional bonus depreciation accelerated because of that. But again, you need to be careful though, because it can be extremely time consuming. And there are a lot of different guidelines and rules that you need to follow. And if you make a mistake on it, you can really shoot yourself in the foot from an IRS and tax perspective. So Additionally, they can be costly. Like if you make these mistakes, they can actually really be costly. So depending on whatever software, I haven't used the one you mentioned. Frankly, I haven't used any of these. These are just ones that I know are pretty popular. And again, these, I have talked to our CPA team about this. They are more targeted towards CPAs and accountants, of course, because they assume that someone maybe working for you is going to be using them in some capacity. So maybe the learning curve is you know, going to be a little bit more difficult there. But it, again, I just want to repeat, the software doesn't do all of the work for you. You're still going to have to go to the property. You still have to do a field study based on the building components manually, all of those things. They will simply help you create those reports. So your mileage may vary though. So I'd be interested to hear how you do. And if you use that software you mentioned, again, the ones that I mentioned, KBKG, I always have to try to remember that, KBKG, SegStream and Titan Echo are ones that I know have people have used and talk about. So yeah, let me know how you guys handle that. I'd love to hear a follow-up phone call in a few months if you guys decide to go the DIY route on that property. All right, our next question comes to us from the Netherlands and Rudolf.
Hey, Clayton. This is Rudolf from the Netherlands. I'm an artist and I don't have steady income. My question is, can you buy a house on the name of an association? And is it possible to get a mortgage on to purchase a house on the name of an association, or are there ways to get finance for this in the Netherlands? I hope you know something about this. Thank you.
Oh, Rudolf, I wish I did. I honestly just visited the Netherlands a few months ago, but I know nothing about the housing market in the Netherlands. I cannot speak to that. I wish that I could. Buying a house in the Netherlands in the name of a company or an association, I really don't know. I would assume you probably can. And you can do that in most European countries. You can buy homes in the name of your company, or you can buy homes in the name of a company. You can definitely do that. And every European country has different laws for how it handles the tax implications of that. So I would just talk to, you know, one of your tax advisors in the Netherlands about that. In the United States, of course, you can do that. And you would set up a business bank account in the United States and you'd buy properties in the name of the business in the United States. People buy commercial real estate all of the time. They can lend to them or rent it out to their other company, which is an amazing tax benefit as well. I would assume just like in other European countries, you can do this. I know you can do this in Norway. I know you can do this in the United, in Portugal and Spain. So I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do it in the Netherlands unless there's some crazy Netherlands law that doesn't allow you to do it. So anyway, please talk to your local tax advisors in the Netherlands. They're going to know the laws way better than I will. I've only visited and had some delicious food at one of the little markets there in the Netherlands. So anyway, thank you guys so much for your questions. I apologize, Rudolf, for not having more knowledge about the Netherlands housing market. I appreciate the questions. So you can go to our website and leave us a question. Go to morrisinvest.com. And on the right side of your screen, there's a microphone. Click on that and try to keep it to like 30 seconds if you can. And we will attempt to answer it here on the show. Don't forget to go and get that special report that I co-authored. Go to morrisinvest.com/recession. To grab that free report. We'll have a link in the description below, and we'll see you next time, everyone.